What's going on you there, Sophia? Amen. There she is. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. So nice to see you, your lovely faces. And sometimes when I come early, I'm out there in the foyer and I'm catching up with your stories, or you're catching me up with your stories and your life and what's going on. And it's a pleasure to see you. I just wanted to give a shout out to a couple of people who worked really hard this past week. Christina and Gabe Martinez and the youth were here. They just want to make their space look more youthful, and paint just goes a long, long way. So she had the group out here, and they painted, and they worked hard, and they were here from like 12 to late, 7, 8 o'clock in the day on Wednesday, and they're transforming their space. They want to make it more youthful, so we want to support them. And I also want to give a shout out. We want to transform the toddler's room. It's been in our heart for a while now. Edna and the volunteers there, they have been in a small space with a floor that slopes and a big pole kind of in the middle. And we have worked with that room for over 10 years, I want to say, at least. And it was time to graduate that group into a bigger space. And with it came the thought of, let's paint this space, let's make it more toddler friendly. You know, it's not only a space for them, but it's for our workers. And how many of you know when you go into a new space, it's painted, it feels good, it feels fresh. You want to be there. People want to help you. More volunteers want to, you know, come. And so I'm so blessed with the people who I said, now I want to do this. Can you help me? I work, and I even work on Saturdays sometimes, but the only time I have is a Saturday. And I had this precious lady say, Irma, we can do it. I'll get a team around us. We'll do it during the week, and we'll get it done. And I know it took hours, it took time, it took energy. They were worn out at the end of painting this room, transforming it. It's still not done. We want to do a big chalkboard space for the kids where they can write and have fun. More to come on that, but you know, I want to give a shout out to my sister Linda. Her husband, who got voluntold he was gonna do this, Polly did not agree to it, but here's a woman who just, you know, said, Irma, I see the need. Let's get Edna some help. Let's transform this room. Some other people, you know, Leno, Ricky, Flores moved these big cabinets that were in there so we could get behind that space and get to the wall. And it took a crew to do this. And I'm so blessed to be at this church. I'm so blessed with the leadership of this church who saw a need and just rose up and said, let's transform the space that we've been given. Let's make it more nicer, more beautiful for the people walking through these doors. And so again, thank you from the bottom of my heart for all those, for the youth who took their time on Wednesday to come out, Christina Martinez who led that, for Linda, Edna, Leno, Leonard, and all that group. Just thank you. Go out, see those spaces. We're slowly but surely just making them just a special place for your children, for our youth.
That's right.
For the community of this neighborhood, who I believe in the name of Jesus will be coming through the doors.
Yes.
And we're going to have something nice and special, and paint goes a long way to get us to that
right.
place that we want to be. So
awesome.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for your hearts, for your servanthood. Just honored to be part of this place, of this church, to be here with my husband leading you. So thank you again from the bottom of our hearts.
Amen. He who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen.
Thank you. Matching here.
Amen. That's awesome. Amen. I would walk her down, but then I'd have to come back up. But maybe no, that's weak, right? I shouldn't have said that. Hey, well, y'all should have helped her. Amen. You can get up. Get up yourself. No, I'm joking. Hey, church cleanup this coming Wednesday, 7 p.m. Happening. Bring all your stuff. You heard the announcement earlier. Some of the guys, you like working outside, but some of our ladies also can cut grass. I've seen you on those riding lawnmowers on. So whatever your forte is, you have that gift of cleaning, let's get together and roll up our sleeves, let's clean the house of God and get it ready for Easter. Is that good for everybody? Yes?
Amen.
Show up Wednesday and help me with that. I got a real nice note real quick from the Pregnancy Crisis Center. We support them also in our city missions. They said, Living Faith, thank you for your generous, faithful support of the Pregnancy Care Center. Because of your monthly support, we've seen more lives saved more than any time in our 35-year history. 437 this year alone. That means that babies were saved also because of moms that were there coming in crisis. So you saved lives also, two lives. Isn't that amazing? Thank you for standing with us for life. And it's Dave McCall. He's the executive director there. And so he sends his greetings and thanks. Amen. You're making a difference. Amen. Amen. What a blessing. It's part of a giving church that you're doing. We're kicking off a new series today, our Easter series. And we want to welcome our Facebook Live audience and also welcome all of our visitors, second time guests, third time guests. Let's welcome them. Amen. Amen. People are watching all over, and if you clap that week, amen, it's okay. They're probably wondering why you didn't welcome them, but we welcome you in the name of Jesus, right, everybody? Welcome to Living Faith, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go, and we're a church that's alive in faith and thankful for it. Do you have your message notes with you? If you would, show them to me, wave a hanky at me, wave something at me, amen, there you are. Good, you're there, amen. They called it Good Friday because at the very essence, it was a Good Friday. To us, we celebrate with barbecue now and Easter egg hunt and that sort of thing. But Good Friday is because of Christ making it a Good Friday. It was his worst day. It was any human being's worst day that he could ever imagine, what Jesus went through. The reason why it's Good Friday, it's because it was his worst Friday. There are things that happened to Jesus in that 12-hour period from when Thursday night happened, when he's breaking bread with his disciples, having a full course meal, a Passover meal. And as he does that, at about 9 p.m., he goes to this garden called Gethsemane and he begins to pray. He's prepared his disciples as best as he could. And he calls out, "Lord, give me strength to what I'm about to go. Not my will, but your will be done." And through the ravine bushes come one of his followers named Judas Iscariot, with other soldiers, and they take Jesus away. What took place during that nighttime no human should have ever gone through, and through the early morning as he hangs on a cross dying. But Jesus' last words as a man on a cross are directed. He had, because of heaven being within him and the heavenly Father within him, he had great wisdom. So nothing was done. Well, he got hit by a truck and he couldn't say goodbye. He died suddenly of a massive heart attack. Jesus knew what was going to happen because he was fully controlled as a spirit-led man, but he was still human. And so because he said seven statements on that cross, they're very important for us because they're the final words that the Savior would say. And they're directed towards us because we'll go through betrayal, we'll go through injustice, we'll go through lied, being lied about, falsely accused. We'll go through all of that. But Jesus went through them in an accelerated period, quickly. What would have normally blown us away, because we get over betrayal and it takes us our whole life sometimes. We're human. It takes us, falsely accused, it takes our whole life to get. Jesus went through them and he had to go through them because he was this. Not only did Jesus go through them, but he spoke to us on how to get through it. Do you understand that? Isn't that an incredible Savior that we have? So Jesus is that sort of Savior. Thank God for it. He makes his first statement. They take off his clothes. They strip him. They beat him. They put a crown of thorns on his head. When they nail him to a cross, they lift him. Holes are already there because of the mass executions that they do in Rome. And the Passion portrays it so greatly as they lift the cross together, they drop it into a giant hole, and he hangs there. And the first words out of his mouth aren't, "Ouch, he was in pain, he was human," aren't, "I'm going to get you for that, for what you did to me." These are the words that he says. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are." Yeah. And I believe that's a lesson that we should make every day to people, to set our hearts towards forgiveness. People are out, you say, to ruin my life. People are out to get me, the first thought ought to be, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." In other words, set your course and set your will to forgive people before you even leave your house or put on your shoes today. That's why the Lord's Prayer would be, "Father, forgive them of their trespasses and those that trespass." He wanted that to make it a daily prayer in your life, that you would already have the will to forgive people before you left your place and you go to your assignment that you daily do. And so The one that was in so much pain was able to say that to us. I think it's something that we need to learn today. Today, the first bullet point that you'd have right there at the very top, next slide would be, forgive everyone who's trying to ruin my life and your life. Sometimes you think, well, do they have the spiritual gift to ruin my life? They've gone to the Growing in Faith class, and my gift is to ruin Mario's life. Or you can put your name in there, right, everybody? And so you don't like them, they don't like you. And that's the way it is in life today. There are thoughts that say, you know, if I shelter myself enough and I get into a little bubble or go away in a cave or a monastery, I'm never going to get offended. I just won't deal with that. There's this funny story about these three monks. And they live in this remote monastery, top of a high cliff. And their thing is a vow of silence. And so every Christmas, they get to speak one sentence. And there's three of them. And the first guy's Brother Michael. Brother Michael gets to say a sentence that Christmas. And he goes, I love how delightfully tasteful these mashed potatoes are with this Christmas roast. And that's it, man. Nobody can talk till the next Christmas out of the three of them. The next guy is Brother Thomas. And Brother Thomas says, next Christmas, a whole year went by. He goes, these mashed potatoes are lumpy and they're cold and they don't go well with this Christmas roast. And he looks at that other monk. Finally, another Christmas goes by. 364 days go by. And that Christmas day happens again. And Brother Paul is a mature one. And he says, that first sentence is, I'm fed up with this constant bickering between you two. You'll get it at 3 a.m. amen. See, Brother Paul had a list, man. And on it were this guy named Michael, and on it were this guy named Thomas. And he was going to put them. I got a list. How about you? I got a list that I've had, and I know I'm the only spiritual one in this room, so I'm going to admit that I have a list. Amen. I'm working out my salvation. Yeah, amen. Thank you, brother. Me and you, bro, we're going to heaven. We're the only ones, right? In Luke 17:1, the New King James Version in your handout, let's read it together out loud, not out soft today. On the big screen or in your handout, you have your message notes. 1, 2, 3. And then he said to his disciples, it is impossible. It's impossible that you're not going to be offended. It's impossible that you're not going to go through something that unforgiveness is going to come to your heart. We want to hold unforgiveness. We think if I hold unforgiveness, I'll get to punish that person because I'm going to hold them in unforgiveness. And there's this famous saying by Anne Lamott, and she said this, not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and wanting that rat to die. But you're drinking the rat poison and you're wanting that rat, I'm going to kill him. And but you're the one dying slowly because you're not forgiving. And unforgiveness destroys us today. In Proverbs 18:19, on the big screen or on your handout today, it says this, an offended brother, an offended sister, I'm just going to put it out there for you guys because the Bible doesn't mess around with anybody. It's an equal opportunity offender, the Bible. An offended brother, an offended sister is more unyielding. In other words, there's a root within you that causes you to do the unthinkable. That wasn't me. That's why you see on the news that I don't know why she shot him, you know, or why that happened, why that knife came out and somebody got murdered. That root was already there. That offense had already built up and built up. Look at it. It's unyielding more than a fortified city. And disputes are like barren gates of the citadel. I shut myself off like this walled city, and I'm not going to let anybody in now. I'm not going to let anybody get close. God, you're even far away from me. That's how even believers get today. I love the channels that show me the History Channel, and I love watching like the British monarchy and the study of that. In 1649, I saw one where this guy named King Charles, the first King Charles, was in charge. It's a TV show, isn't it? And he was, according to Oliver Cromwell, very unjust. And Oliver Cromwell led a revolt against him, wanted to overthrow him. And so he said, you know, your criminal things going on in your establishment, we're going to overthrow you. And so he led a revolt. And so they captured the king and they took charge of their regime and they held the king in jail. So 59 people signed this edict when they brought him to trial. And they said this, they said, we want him to be executed, but we need 59 of you to say he should be executed as our king and so forth. And so 59 signed this edict that he should die by hanging. And so the story goes, they hung him, and their regime that killed him lasted like 11 years in this presentation I saw. 11 years later, they're overthrown. The royals come back. And it's Charles II now, the son of Charles I. Daddy's dead, but there's a new king now. And the first act that he did for revenge was, I want you to find those 59 people that signed the edict. I want you to find them. And they came to him, O king, 15 of them are dead already. They're in the ground. He said, dig them up. We're going to hold them in trial. So they dig up these corpses, history shows, and they put them, I guess, in the witness stand. And I guess rigor mortis had set in, so they're leaning, you know, Weekend at Bernie's there, man. They're leaning there, and they charge them with all these crimes and against the royals, and they hang those dead bodies, the 15 of them, just for revenge. You talk about digging up the past, right? They really did it right there. See, the Bible teaches about these bad days that you're going to have to get through them with people that offend you and people that come against you. And the first strength would be, the first thought would be to really, when you dig up the past and trench it out, to go back, there's this root of bitterness within your heart. Right. And you're going to have that. And God would tell you, man, within a 12-hour period, God shows us in His Word that His Son faced everything that you'll ever face, everything that you'll ever go through, and then some, so He could identify with you. The first thought for you extra note takers, because you're the most spiritual ones in this room because you take extra notes, is betrayal. These are just extra thoughts here. Jesus went through betrayal. One of His closest followers that followed Him as a rabbi was this Jewish man named Judas Iscariot. And Judas Iscariot was close. See, betrayal happens not because of the guy that really flipped you off on the highway. You don't know that guy. It doesn't mean anything to you. Maybe a little bit. Maybe you'll chase him down an excerpt or two. I know some of y'all are crazy. You got that craziness in you in this room. But for most of us, you like that, don't you? You're smiling real big at me because I guess I use some language that you're not used to or something, except in your house, right? So, or on Facebook or on Instagram. But let me move ahead, right, before I convict everybody in this room. Betrayal happens because somebody you deeply love. And Jesus deeply loved Judas. He was His follower, man. He was with Him. And here it is. Imagine you're praying for God's strength to go through something, and out of the bushes comes somebody that you deeply love and your best friend, and He's walking toward you with these soldiers that are going to arrest you. That's what the point. Jesus was at Gethsemane praying, like like blood was coming out of Him because that's how hard He was praying. And here comes this betrayer coming at Him. For 12 pieces of silver, He's betrayed. That would hurt anyone's feelings in this room. I think so, right, everybody? The next thought is falsely accusations. This one, out of every one of them, this one is the one that gets me. I hate to be falsely accused. If you accuse me of something I did, you know, that's okay. I'm going to own up to it probably in about 5 days or so, maybe 5 years, right, everybody? You're not like me. Boy, you're quiet because you're so serious today. But false accusations, man, doesn't that get you? Because, man, you're assuming something, or you came out and lied about me. And so these false accusations come against Jesus. They have this kangaroo court. He goes through three trials. Roman law said you couldn't go through them at night. He goes through them at night to sneak them in and to get them out so he can get crucified and they can kill him. And then on top of that, they pay off people so they can lie about him. It's something, you know, about that today. It follows through rejection because on that one, not one of His closest followers, they say John was near, but he wasn't. He wasn't in the courtroom. He wasn't at the point. And so Peter was far away cussing out, you know, the things and doing all that we've learned about Peter. But no one was close to Jesus that day. And so the spirit of rejection came upon our Christ for you and me so we could identify with rejection. Young people, I want to pause. If you're a millennial in this room, We're on social media a lot, a generation is, and that's the way it's going, and it's going to continue to happen. It looks like some of you all on social media, and you're ancient, and that's okay too. You're going to learn about it, right? But for our young people, isn't it incredible about how rejection has come upon them through social media, and how some even choose to end their life because of the rejection that they've gotten on the internet? And I just want to announce to every young person, if you're getting rejected on social media, get off that mess. The best thing that you might do is not look for your approval on something that's on a screen, but come to church. Come to the house of God, because I'm going to tell you that you have a destiny, that you have a purpose, that you're not a loser, that you're not forsaken, that nobody's not your friend, that you have a friend, dear. Amen. That God loves you and has his hand, amen, on your life today. Right, everybody? Yeah, amen. Come to the right place and get the right message about your life. It leads me to abuse. And nobody was abused like Jesus. He was blindfolded. He was beat. He was punished. He was bullied. Talk about bullying. Jesus was bullied. The abuse that happened to our Savior on that day, emotionally also today. Romans guards beat him so much and marred his face that Isaiah the prophet said that he was a man beyond recognition. You couldn't even recognize his face because of what they have done to him. And the Passion of Christ portrays that. Finally, the humiliation that he faced. They don't show this on the Passion of the Christ or any of the gospel movies, but Roman law said that every person that was crucified, they were to be stripped naked, and for the humiliation, they hung there being naked. And that was humiliating to our Savior, the man of God, that the Prince of Peace that he was. Jesus went through hell. Do you recognize that? Amen. For you and I. Amen. But he also went through something besides all the sins that you'll ever commit and all the things that you'll ever face that's on the list. He went through Hebrews chapter 12, verse 17. On the big screen, it says this. And that's why he had to enter into every detail of human life. Are y'all with me this morning? And then he came before God as our high priest to get rid of the people's sins. You're not going to face that anymore, that heartache and that shame. I'm going to get rid of it because I had it on the cross. Because he already experienced it all for himself. All the betrayal, all the abuse, all the being lied about, all the pain, all the testing that would help him, that he'd be able to help us in our time of need. So we understand. Jesus gets it. Yeah, he really does. I'm so glad that my Savior says, Lord, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I get it. I went through it. You don't know what it is, how they lied about me on the internet. No, I get that. Even though it was your own fault they lied about you, I still get it because I was innocent. I was lied about and I was wrong. I'm so thankful God will never hear a prayer from my life that he won't understand. A cry. He'll understand everything, but we cry out to God and he understands the being forsaken, forgotten about, the last picked on the team, whatever it might be. The redheaded stepchild, God understands. He understands. There's nothing within us that wants to forgive. I'm built that way. I know that. Not because I'm Mexican, because I'm human, right, everybody? Forgiveness is an act of my mind. Get this. Because it starts going into my mind, that's when it shuts down. No, no, no. I'm going to beat you a little bit more and take you out of that cage and beat you in my mind. Or I should have did this. I should have rehearsed this. If I would have had to do it all, I would have told you off. And we get it into our mind, but that's why the mind needs to be addressed. And when you go through your mind, it has to get through your mind, past the emotion and into your heart where you have the strength to overcome in your mind. You know that. And so I gave you an extra list today about what forgiveness is not, because we have this misconception even in the church house about what forgiveness is not. So I'm going to give you another list. Forgiveness is not, here you go, minimizing the serious offense. It was serious. It was huge what happened to you. And so many times in the church house or in life, we go, no, 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 no. Let's just, you don't need to make it bigger than it is, baby. Let's just get it. No, it was serious. Forgiveness is not making it small. Forgiveness is also not, it's not reconciliation. Listen to me on this one. I would want everyone to hold hands after it's all said and done and walk into forgiveness with that one that offended you. And to swing, go through the garden and say and everything and hug and kiss each other. I would want that. And that's what really the picture of God is for reunion is that. But many times, see, forgiveness isn't so much for that other person. It's not for that other person. It's for you. It's me. It's me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I need it today. So it doesn't matter about that other person. I got to get past the point, hear me today, that I'm reconciled to God first. And so what? You can keep being crazy and going on, but I'm going to leave. I'm going on with God. I've forgiven you. And one day maybe we will be restored. We will be reconciled. But until you make that choice, it's not waiting for them to tell you that they're sorry. Hello. Hello. Lord, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm forgiving them. I'm letting them out of my cage. They're going to go on. And maybe one day they will. I'm glad you're here. Are you glad you came to Living Faith? Yeah. It's a tough message, but you're here. Amen. And God's speaking to you today. It's not about doing what's fair. Let's not play the fair card. Because if we did that, Jesus wouldn't have been on the cross. Most perfect human, the Son of God, didn't do what was fair. What was fair was Mario being on the cross. You, can I put your name on there too? You should have been on the cross. And so it's not a fair thing. It's what Christ did for us today. He paid the price for what I did wrong and what you did wrong today. The final one, forgiveness is not impossible. I that will never be forgiven. I can't do that, am I? That's why you need God. That's why you're the child of God. Forgive. I can do all things through Christ that you have the strength to go on and to forgive people. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing today. In our small group recently, a couple of months ago, there was this offense that happened, and I was there along with the rest of the small group. And I saw it, and it was so like quick. That's what the offense happens. It cuts you real quick. If you've ever been like me, right? Anybody like and it didn't even happen to me, but I got offended. This guy was talking, and it's his style. He's just talking and shooting off some stuff, and we're all like laughing, brothers and sisters, right, in our small group. That's what small groups do, we talk. And he fired off something, and it wasn't that, you know, that's him. And all of a sudden, this sister, I don't know what she'd gone through, man, but this sister fires back and says, that's why brother so-and-so, get a blah, 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 and she, blah, all this stuff on him, man. And it got on me, too. I got offended, man. And he walks out hurt. I know he was hurt. He's human, you know. And then everybody's hurt. It's like, what a way to end us. Welcome to Living Faith. We do small groups good. Come to a small group. We'll offend you. Man, and I saw him try to work stuff out, and then she did, and... But I saw that man because he was coming to church. Yeah. He tried to return. It's funny how the other person that did all the stuff vomited all over him in the sense and vomited all over him. Didn't even realize probably what she had done. Father, forgive them. A couple of weeks ago, that man came to me. He's a man of God. He's human, just like I am and just like you are. He came to me and he said, you know, I sent that person a note. I said, God bless you and blessings. And he was saying it was good to see you, you know, in church the other day. And that person didn't reply back. And, of course, he told me that. And I thought about that. I go, you know, he's set free. Amen. He's free. How did that man get that ability that we all need? Probably for more serious things, of course, but that even that, that's what hurts too, of course. What? How did that man get that ability? See, the strength of God. He has a relationship with Jesus. He's not a superstar Christian. He's just a man of God, and he went and found himself in the Word. He found himself in prayer, and he worked it out, and he got through it. And so must you, beloved, today. Amen. You're going to need the strength of God to get through your unforgiveness. And it's tough. But again, there's nothing uncommon to man that no man has ever faced in this room. You're not special because of your offense. You're special because God gave you the ability to forgive. as a child of God today. Man, I ought to take notes on me today. I don't know. The thought, I'm going to give you 3 points as a believer because you're Christians here in this room. And this is how you live. And this is what you do as a Christian, as a man of God, as a woman of God in this room. Number one is this. Pray for them. Pray. I'm going to pray for them. May 1,000 camel flies infest their armpits. That's your prayer. Not that sort of prayer. When I was at Christ for the Nations, they're a real warfare school, and they teach you about spiritual warfare and their chapels and the scripture memorizations as you do in Bible college and so forth, and as you should do as a Christian. But anyway, there's this psalm that they taught me, Psalm of David, and there's a psalm that said, Lord, break the teeth of the wicked. It's a powerful psalm. David's saying that. And so when I heard that and they taught me that at Bible college, I said, man, that's what I want for my enemies. Lord, smash their teeth, Lord. The wicked, amen. But how many know that's the wrong prayer to pray? Amen. There are enemies, but it's not the ones that have hurt you, amen. It's the enemies that come against us like cancer, enemies that come against us like wickedness and things like that in high places. We destroy them, smash the teeth of that, right, Lord? Not of a human today, right, everybody? Yeah, get the right perspective. In Matthew 5:43, it says, you've heard it said, Jesus said this, Old Testament, he knew the word, Old Testament, he said, love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I want next level people to come, the Savior was, I want living faith people to come right now. But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those that what? And so when you pray for people, it's not the, go get them, sick them, Lord. Beat them up for me. It's, Lord, touch them. Change them, God. Say their name before God. Mario, Lord, needs you, Lord. Touch him, God. Sue needs you, Lord. Touch her, Lord. Change her, Lord. And then maybe the words are few. Let my words be few, Lord. Right, everybody? You know what happens when I pray that prayer? My life begins to change. My heart begins to be soft and get pliable. Right, everybody? Amen. Amen. Say their name in the presence of the Lord today. That's why in marriage counseling, you know what's good? When you get somebody and the couples are there and they're at odds, you say, oh, hey, Hulano, why don't you pray for Hulana? Por Julio, pray for her. Just pray. What? I'm mad at her. No, just hold her hand and pray. You can't really stay mad at somebody that you pray for. Hearts begin to soften. And it leads me to the second thought. Bless them. Somebody shout, bless them.
Bless them.
The Hebrew, the Greek word in Hebrew, it just speak well. I'm not going to say a curse privately. I'm not going to talk behind their back privately or publicly. I'm not going to do that. Bless them. Speak well of those that persecute you. Speak well of those. Bless those that do not curse them. Today, and we go the other way around. This one precious lady told Irma and I recently, she said, I need to ask for your forgiveness. I spoke about that person, and this thing came upon me. This physical thing came upon me. And I said, Lord, you taught me not to do that, Lord, and you showed me. And so she went back to all the people, which were Irma and I, that she had spoken to about that person. And I ask God to forgive me. Do you understand that? Some of us are sick physically because we have something within us that we need to release so we get healed. There's that. You don't want that bitterness in her. And she didn't want it, and she obeyed God into that. Amen, amen. She did what was right, amen. The early church was more persecuted than any other body was persecuted at any point of history. And so the relating of them being persecuted to the outside world, of them having somebody come against them. It wasn't because of social media or they're persecuting me because of my post. It was because literally they were being sewn into animal bags and thrown into the animals of wild lions, and their families were being hauled off to jail because of their proclamation for Christ today. And Romans said that bless them that curse you and persecute you. They knew what it was about. Jesus prepared them and said, you know what it is like, you guys? It's like this. It's so easy to tell people that love you. I love you back, bro. Man, I love you. You love me. I love you back. He said, no. Even the tax collectors do that. Love people that are your enemies, that persecute you. Love them. Love them back. And that's how we'll change the world, right? Yeah. Oh, if we had that heart within Living Faith, man, how God would change our community, right, everybody? We're looking for that sort of heart, right, everybody? I want to pause and just give you one more thought about this. You guys that I'm picking on called the millennials in this room, you young people, you're all over Facebook, you're all over Snapchat, you're all over Instagram because it's your generation. And what they've said about you guys is this, and I don't think it's true because I want to go beyond stats. I want to proclaim something over your life that's not true, but I want to give you some warning signs, and they're like this. They're saying about you that you don't get married because you're so into yourself. You're the generation that will serve yourself first before you'll serve anybody else. And it plays out like this according to what they're saying stats. I'm not going to learn to cook because my husband can eat microwave tortillas if he wants to make his own. I'm not going to get a job because you know what? She can get her own job. No, you're going to do what's godly. You're going to learn to cook because you're going to serve your husband one day, which is a godly thing. Give me a good amen. Amen. You're going to hold down a job, not 20 jobs in a year, but one job in a year, and you're going to stay at it hard and long because you're going to serve your bride one day because it's spiritual to have a job and support your home. Right, everybody? And so I want to bring that blessing about that you're blessed to be a blessing because you learned spiritual principles in your life. Give me a good amen. Amen. And it's rightly so. You're not going to be this generation that just serves yourself and have relationships that don't serve anybody because really relationship dynamic is that you die for your bride and you die for each other on a daily basis. And that's what makes a marriage work. Give me a good amen on that one. Amen. Parents, you can give me a little bit more in the offering plate if you want because I just told your teenager something. Is that okay with everybody? Yeah, be good to the pastor. And finally, number three is this, amen. Unexpected blessings come your way when you do good to them. And they come to them because they're unexpected through you, the hand of God today. Right, everybody? Amen. Let's go ahead and read Romans chapter 12 out loud, not out soft. Romans chapter 12 on the big screen. There's going to be two screens. Are in your handout today. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. In the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends. I will repay, saith the Lord. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, yeah, if he's hungry, man, go buy him some groceries or get him that HEB gift card. Right, everybody? If he's thirsty, give him a vanilla Coke. Amen. I like vanilla Pepsi, but that's another story. Give me an amen. Give him something to drink. And then if you do that, you overcome evil. The burning coals. Yeah, that's mine, brother. I'm going to burn you, bro. I'm going to burn you. No, what it meant was that precious commodity a fire that was ancient, that wasn't just the Bic lighter. No, his fire went out. I hope he freezes to death in that ancient home. No, I'm going to take my fire that I have and light their fire so they're warm at night. You overcome evil. They're evil. They're evil people. No, I'm going to bless them. Some of y'all need to hear this about your suegra, about your suegro. Give me a good amen. Come on. Amen. You need to bless them. Amen. Amen. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. Yeah, your suegra is your mother-in-law. I'm going to teach you heaven's language, right? Your suegra is your mother-in-law, right? Yeah. A few years ago, I was listening to Joyce Myers. She's that incredible evangelist, and she fills up coliseums, and, you know, and she told this. What got my attention as I was listening to her on YouTube was she said, I'm going to tell you a story that I've never told anyone before and never said public. And the place is packed. I think it's in Australia. And she says, when I was a young teenager, I got repeatedly raped by my father over 200 times. And she says, I know it was 200 times because every time the awful event took place, I counted, and that's how horrific it was to me. She said she grew, and she went to Bible college, and she became a pastor's wife, and then she became doing these Bible studies, and then she became known nationally, internationally. She traveled the world now, and her father grew older, her mother grew older. He never said he was sorry for what he did to her. He got older, and she, even as a televangelist, learned these principles of God, because it's all fresh to us, even at this moment. Right now that you're listening, you need to hear it again. And this one that knows all the Bible, and she does, and she wanted to practice the Bible about her enemy and about the people that had hurt her, about giving them a blessing instead of a curse back. And she said that in their older age, she went and spoke to her parents, her and her husband, says, y'all are older now, you're away from us, and we can't take care of you. And we have the means now. God has blessed us richly through our ministry. I want to build a house for you, Dad and Mom. You'll live next to us. We'll make sure all your bills are taken care of, your health care. We're going to take care of you for the rest of your life. And so she moved them right next door, and she provided for her father. She provided for her mother. She saw her health, the father and mother, their health decline. And before he died, because of how good she had been to him, she came and said, I'm so sorry what I did to you. Please forgive me. And said, Dad, I forgave you a long time ago. And what you're doing is really for yourself right now. And she led him to Christ. Amen. Led him to Jesus. Amen. And God wins. She said at the very end, listen, the incredible woman, she said this. She said, I'm so glad, I'm not sorry that happened to me anymore, because it gave me a chance, just a little bit of a chance, to realize what the sufferings of my Jesus was and did for me at that very moment, and how I was able to have that power, that same power that he had to forgive, I gave it to somebody else. Amen. And I experienced that for my life today. Yeah. I have a list of people, just like you do. I pray for them. I'm working out the process. I'm blessing them. I do good to them. And God's going to save them also. Amen. I'm going to work through the process with you today. See, God forgave me more than he'll ever forgive. God forgave me more than I'll ever forgive anybody else. Do you understand that today? All the wrong I did, God's forgiven me of that, and I will forgive people, but it won't be as much as Jesus forgave me when I realize that. And so in conclusion today, you're going to fill in the blank. Be still today. The forgiven forgive. God, you forgave me more than I'll ever forgive my enemy today. Let's declare the word of the Lord on the big screen together in your handout today. Let's make it loud. Let's make it strong. You have the power in your life today to forgive. Matthew 10:8 On three, one, two, three, go. Freely you have received, freely. Yeah. I know this was a tough message to hear. But you have the victory. This is a victory. This is a victory talk. God can bless you right now if you're obedient to him right now. You're quiet and still right now. Let's pray. You're bowing and praying with me right now in reverence to God. Father, I want to lead God's people right now into daily forgiveness. I want this to be a church that is the church of forgiveness, the church of not unforgive. No, we want to be a church that forgives, that walks in daily forgiveness, that blesses people, that does good to people, Lord, that does good, as my wife said, to our community and waits for them and blesses them. So you have the heart right now that is faced betrayal, or a mind right now that's wrestled with somebody lied about you, or the soul realm that's rejected, the abuse right now. You've been humiliated right now. Father, we have that list, that person that did that right now. We pray for them right now. I call their name out, Lord. Call their name out. Whisper it right now. Say their name in the presence of God. Yes. One by one. It's okay. Father, would you bless them? Bless them. I'm not going to speak ill of them again. That's a sin now. I know better. I'm not going to say something about them in public that's wrong. I won't curse them in private either, in my heart, under my breath. I'm going to get set free right now. God's going to do something beautiful in your life if you'll obey God. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Yeah, my list right now. Give me a moment. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. You do it also. Within my power, Lord, I'll do good. I'll do good to them. It'll be unexpected, yes. I'll be good to them. Thank you, Jesus. I won't avenge, God. You'll repay. It's yours, Lord. They're yours. They're your children, Lord. You're going to take care of that. As we continue to pray, you need forgiveness from God today. You're not close to God. And the only way you do that is to surrender. Surrender my life to Jesus. And do that. You're far away from God. God comes near through a prayer. You'll pray a prayer like this. You'll say it from your own lips. You'll say it something like this right now. If that's you, you're far away. Father, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Your sins, Jesus, were my sins. The sins that you took upon the cross, Lord, were my sins. You never sinned, God. You never sinned, Jesus. They were my sins that nailed you to a cross. Forgive me, God. Be real sure of that today. Your blood, Lord, wipes away all my sins now. I ask for your forgiveness, Lord. Change my life, Lord. Forgive me. Pray it right now on the internet right now. Pray that prayer, and God will save you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your touch, Lord. I'm a new creation in Christ. My sins have been washed away. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your touch. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. If you did that today, you look at me just right now, everybody looking at me. There's a connection card in front of you. If you did that on social media, you can also just hit me up and say, I received Christ. Send us a message at Living Faith. You can do that even through email. It's all found on our webpage. But you can put on your connection card, this is what I did today. Howard and Leonard, I want to make sure I get those back today. Those are important to me as they are every Sunday. Let's make sure that I get those. I want to pray for you this week if you've done that. Find that connection card in front of you. They're near you today. Do that today. Also, if you've done that today, you've entered a relationship with Christ. There's a growing in faith class that happens. It's going to happen at 9 a.m. First service. It's coming soon. Details are coming. Get ready for that. I want you to be part of it. I want to pause real quick. Our young people that I've spoken at poignant times during this talk, you're real important to me. So you need a foundation, and it's been now your turn. Growing in faith is going to happen. I want you to be part of that. When it happens, listen for it. You can come at 9 a.m. There was a precious young lady. I don't know if she's still here, but she came up and she said this to Irma and I today. She says, I came by myself. She's old enough to drive, but she's young. She said, I didn't come with my mother and father. I came by myself. And she said, well, you're a daughter of this house. Welcome to the family today. If you come by yourself, you can go to Growing in Faith. Amen. You can come to the 10:30 service. Amen. Get it all at Living Faith. Right, everybody? Amen. And so we're blessed today. Give me a good amen. We're going to get ready to worship God with our tithe and offering because that's exactly what it is. Amen. Your time, your talent, and your treasure. Amen. All three combine in giving today. Leonard and Linda Ziegler are going to come up. They're our ministers in our connection ministry.